with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of stuff we can talk about. Tiger shoots one over, has back spasms. Did we like his clothes? How weird did that look to see that little jaguar-looking thing? It's supposed to be a tiger on his hat instead of the swoosh. It's a weird look. It's a weird look. I don't know if I'm going to get used to it. Good news is he may not play very much, so you don't have to. Bracketology out from Joe Lunardi going into the weekend, so you kind of where some of the Big 12 schools are at. High school hoops from yesterday, regional tournament action. Some upsets around the state, some upsets right here in the Paragon Network. Tell you what happened yesterday, what's the schedule today, and then also the larger schools are getting at it. Starting with the district tournaments tonight out at Merritt and Sayre will play a two-way district, and then tomorrow night in the Pioneer Center, the Elk City Elkettes and Big Elks hosting Bishop McGinnis. All those girls' games will start at 6 o'clock in the district tournament. We'll tell you what the schedule is today in the smaller schools. But without further ado, joining us, sweet hat wearing Scott Garrison. Where'd you get that?
Can I say it?
Sure.
Yeah, I got it down at Brady's.
It's nice. Yeah, I like cool, that hat.
It? Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Brown. It's good solid
I'm
brown.
Yeah.
Elks across there.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good
Pretty
look.
Impressive. Sorry I missed you guys last Friday. I was out in Shamrock taking care of a small business in Shamrock, Texas.
Probably better for you that you didn't tell us on the air that you thought the San Francisco 49ers were going to win the Super Bowl. So you got out of the trap I stepped into. Because I was right there with you.
Could they have shot their foot off anymore?
No. No, they couldn't have. They absolutely couldn't have. It's one of those games, just like the last time those two teams played in the Super Bowl, where you walked away going, man, it felt like the Niners were better, but the Chiefs had Mahomes.
And you know what? Purdy didn't do what he needed to do to win it, but he did what he needed to do to put his team in a position to win it.
Yeah, he did not lose
that
game.
You cannot put that one on him.
Mm-mm. No, we talked about that on Monday. He was plenty good enough, and some of those whispers of, do they need to look somewhere else? They might need to look somewhere else, just not for the quarterback.
No.
And they're already looking for another defensive coordinator.
And I think that he probably knows who he is, too. And I don't think he's going to be demanding top dollar. And I don't know about looking for a defensive coordinator either. Because Greenlaw. If he doesn't go down, I don't think it's
– Well. I think you're asking – if you're asking a defense to do better than holding Mahomes to 19 regulation points in a Super Bowl,
yeah,
you're probably not going to be very happy with the other thing that could happen to you.
What are you
looking for? That's right.
What are you looking for?
Nah, they just – that you. It was one of those games that at halftime you went, Niners are in trouble because they should be ahead 17-3,
yeah,
17-6, 20-6.
Well, and then they came out in the third quarter, and they didn't run McCaffrey.
Well, they got an interception right off the bat, and they ran – McCaffrey got the ball twice in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And they went backwards.
But let's blame that on the defensive coordinator.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal about that.
Well,
what did we say, though, going in to the Super Bowl? The Niners' defense had struggled in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they got lit up by Green Bay. They got lit by Detroit on fire in the first half. And that, so, you know, there was some question marks surrounding what they were doing.
Yeah, but not in the Super Bowl.
No.
They did fine.
But I think it was I know the point where Kyle Shanahan went, I'm firing him. It was in overtime when he called timeout on that play where they were – there was giving yards to Mahomes, and he called timeout and did something different.
Yep.
And now that didn't
really – They had that five deep coverage picked.
Anyway, nope, timeout. And at that moment, he thought to himself, I'm firing him.
I have to agree, after they'd already gotten lit on that five deep coverage twice, That wasn't a good place to be. Good position to be in.
Okay, but. Were y'all listening yesterday afternoon by any chance? I know Jared probably wasn't because of what he was doing.
No.
Did you hear the scenario that Jim laid out? Okay, this is awesome. I can't wait to get y'all's perspective on what you would do. Okay, there is a guy that has a three-team parlay ticket. And his three-team parlay is this, of world champions. He picked the Texas Rangers to win the World Series. Check. He picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Check. And his third of a three-team parlay is the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the NBA title. He bet $100.
Why did he pick the Thunder? I mean, I'm
he's
not,
gotta be
hey,
kind
they're
of a,
playing great.
He's got to be a local or he liked the young guys or whatever. But on a $100 bet, if that happens, what do you think that pays?
Oh, God. That'd be astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what the odds are.
If that $100 bet, if the Thunder win the NBA title, he would get paid $1.7 million.
On $100.
So now, obviously, there's still plenty of time in between.
Yeah.
And so, and Trammell compared it exactly to what it should be compared to. So he has an offer right now that he can take.
See, that surprises me that they'd be offering yet.
To get out of it. Right now, his offer to just hand the ticket back in is $21,000.
Oh, I'd turn it in in a heartbeat.
So I was going to do a little deal or no deal, but Scott's already hit the red button.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Give me $21,000.
$21,000 on a $100 bet right now.
Yeah. I mean, how many things can happen? First of all, they're not going to be the favorite by a long shot.
Oh, no.
They're not going to be the favorite in their own conference, most likely. Now, they're up there right now. But second of all, I mean, one guy can break his leg. One guy can, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
How many things can happen before the playoffs?
What would happen if Shea rolled his ankle in the All-Star game here on Sunday?
Yeah, $21,000.
$21,000 on a $100 bet. So Scotty G is not risking it whatsoever. He's taking $21,000 right now on a $100 bet. Jared Athan does not look at it. Now, here's the deal. This kind of surprises me in a way, but not in a way. Athan seems like I would have bet he would.
I would have bet he would take the money and run.
Me too, but I don't think he's going to.
So you're saying if I pull out right now, they're going to give me $21,000.
That's right, and you give them the ticket, it's over.
Boom. But if I hold on to the ticket and the Thunder win it all, I get
$1.7 million. Or even then, okay, think about this. You're talking about things that could happen. Let's say it's Nikola Jokic that rolls his ankle in the All-Star game.
That's what I
then that number goes, you know, you obviously as the closer you get,
Jokic goes out and the Thunder make it past the first round of the playoffs. What's the offer going to be then?
There you go.
That's true.
Yeah, that's where the deal or no deal aspect comes in.
Here's the way I look at it.
Problem is, if you pick that $1 million case, it all goes down to nothing.
Here's what I look at it. I'm not losing $21,000. I'm only losing $100.
Ooh, see, that's where I'm going to disagree. I think right now, here's the deal.
I'd rather just take my chances and lose $100. I think I'm fine.
Roll
the dice. Let's go. Because you're talking about one team rolling an ankle as opposed to the rest of the Western Conference staying healthy.
Okay, here's another thing.
And the Thunder just seem like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm riding high on my Rangers winning, and I thought you just get the playoffs and never know what could happen.
Here's another thing that you could do.
And clearly the Thunder are going to make the playoffs.
Without selling that ticket, here's another thing you could do. Once you get to the playoffs, you could actually hedge.
Right.
Betting the other team, whoever they're playing, to ensure yourself in
of winning something.
Of winning. By the time you get to the playoffs, if the Thunder are healthy.
Yeah, your offer is going to be a lot
offer's
more.
Probably higher. You know, maybe it's $50,000.
Yeah.
So then do you go, okay, bet 25 on the other team to win the series at whatever price that might be. And then if the Thunder win, you're still rolling ahead. You lose that. I mean, there's got to be a medium in there somewhere. And Jim never – he talked about hedging, but he never really went into the – Like how much would make sense? Because
you
would
21 grand.
Yeah. Because you probably wouldn't want to bet. You wouldn't want to hedge the same amount as your offer was, like once you get to
right.
the playoffs, because then you're
then
might as
you're
well take
breaking
it.
Even.
That's
She's
right.
Just taking the 21 grand.
I mean, or you still have the 1.7 million out here, but I think it's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
But I'm the same way as you, though. Yeah. I don't look at it right now.
No.
I don't look at it as, oh, it's just $100. Right now, I look at it as
$21,000.
That's
yeah.
right. That's my baseline.
That's what it is.
My baseline has gone from $100 to $21,000
right
now.
That is what you have on the table.
I think
those are the chips that you have in
yes,
front of you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I could probably talk myself into going the let it ride theory with Jared. And then if you didn't do it, going, oh, it was just $100. But I don't think I could
talk myself into it, but I would always look back and go, that
oh,
was $21,000.
Yeah. And then by the time, like you said, each game that passes where the Thunder win or stay healthy, all that does is
increase your.
Yeah.
They
win the first round of the playoffs. You're probably looking at a $100,000 ticket.
That would be what I was, that kind of what the speculation, 100 to 125.
I would talk myself into saying, hey, you know, this could be pretty monumental. I mean, 21 grand would be pretty big, but 100 grand would be pretty monumental. I could probably talk myself into waiting one round of the playoffs.
Or at least getting to the playoffs and seeing what the matchup is.
Yeah.
And then if it's like the Clippers going up, what's that? Can I still get to 21? Or is that down to 15? Where are we at
yeah.
here?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, honestly, it would be really hard for me not to go, thank you.
Yeah.
Here's another theory he put out there that Jim put, and this one is the most interesting. He said that he figures, and he hadn't talked to this guy yet, but he figures that the Fat Jack would buy that ticket and work some kind of a deal. So, like he just said, he goes, I don't know if these numbers would be what he would do or whatever he say, but he was asking like theories, like I am, or situation scenarios. What if Fat Jack offered you 10 grand and then you split it?
Yeah. And then he used it as a promotional
just
yeah.
whatever. Or, you know, to me that's what I would want to happen.
Yeah.
Because you have some, you don't have 21, but you basically, let's say he bought it and he went and sold it for 30 grand. Well, then you're 25 grand up.
Yeah.
Because you would get half of what it was sold for too. Not only would he hand you $10,000, but then you also have the other, you still have half of it. That would be what, if that was available, I think that's what I would want to do. Because then you guarantee a huge win.
Yeah.
Off of a $100
bet. True.
You guarantee that, and then who knows what can, you know,
that's
you figure
true.
Fat Jack's probably got a little bit more gamble in him than I do.
Yeah.
But also a little bit more professional knowledge of
how to play it.
When to, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
When is it time to sell? Sell high. This is as
sell
high. This is as high as we can sell without really risking a whole bunch of money.
That's it.
I thought that was fascinating. First off, that somebody has that ticket is
so,
amazing
yeah,
to me.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
What's amazing? Sorry to interrupt. What's
ahead.
Amazing? Yeah, it's easy to say the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, I'm going
to
bet on them.
But
to
pick
win.
Texas
to
and
pick
Oklahoma City.
Well, obviously he's a local guy that doesn't like Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, obviously. That could be anybody. That could be any of my buddies.
buddy
Which out. One of you have this ticket?
So, the last thing that I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I love watching defensive football. I love it. I think it's fantastic. One of the biggest reasons why I like watching the Super Bowl so much is because it's one of the few games all year that the officials let them play the game.
Yes.
I mean, they do let them get much more physical. They let them play the game. I thought this was the most ho-hum Super Bowl I've ever seen, and I will 1,000,000% say it was because of the announcers. They were the most dry, boring.
Jim and Tony.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, hey, Tony knows the game. I'm not saying he doesn't know the game, but we need a John Madden up there.
Well, that's – okay.
We need a guy up there that brings a little entertainment to the booth.
I have a theory on this. as you were talking. And it's because of the way the game is played. They don't have to do that because normally they're calling 35 to 31 shootouts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The game is built so much for
offense.
They
get to the line way faster than they did.
Mm-hmm. 15. Yeah, there's not as much airtime to fill with some of that stuff.
Right.
And they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're normally so, Tony especially, there's so much action that you don't have to fill that. Now, Jim, here's the deal. Jim Nance is awesome. And I think he's over Tony.
Oh, you think he's, yeah.
I think he's over him.
Yeah.
I think Jim Nance is going, the novelty is worn off.
I am.
The only thing that was cool about him was he would call the plays. That was amazing when he first got in the booth.
Yeah.
Going, oh, yeah, listen, he'd like hear the cadence or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go, look out for pass right here, Jim. And then that would happen. You're going, holy crap, this is great. You're like,
yeah.
This is like the quarterback is in the booth. Mm-hmm. This is great. And now that he's stopped doing that, all he does is ramble on about nothing.
Yeah.
And that last call of the defining moment of that Super Bowl, where on TV, you'll notice the huge calls of all time on TV. The call was made, and then what happens? Silence.
Right.
And they just let the moment breathe. And the fan, you know, the crowd noise and what you can see with your own eyes of the celebration.
It puts you in the crowd. It puts you in there.
And what happened this time? Tony Romo talked for about 30 seconds while Jim Nance just sat there going, you idiot, shut up. I've always been a Romo defender, but this one, it was too much. I'm kind of with you.
Well, I mean, watch the national championship game. Fowler and Herb Street are fantastic. I mean, they're entertaining, but they're not overbearing on the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're your buddies and you're all watching the game together,
mm-hmm.
and enjoying it together and talking about it together. And Romo is just like, yeah, super nerd up there.
Yeah, he's like the one that's at your Super Bowl party that you just kind of start throwing pillows at. Like, shut up. We don't need to know. We don't need to know the entire analytical situation of this.
Like half of the party ends up watching it on the little TV
yes,
in the other room
because
they don't want to listen to that guy.
Yeah. Or if you got like a nice outside that's covered and warm, you kind of all start. You kind of give each other the nod, like, and the next thing you know, he's looking up like he's the only one on the couch,
yeah,
and everybody's
yeah.
outside. Yeah, that's Romo's catching on a lot of flack, and I'm going to give Jim a pass because he's never been that guy, and I think he's frustrated. I think he's just like, okay, give me somebody else. Maybe Greg Olsen.
I'm ready for something.
Maybe Greg Olsen can switch allegiances now that Brady's coming to
Fox. Brady's going to
Fox. Maybe Greg can come and be Jim's partner, and Tony Romo can move on down life's path.
Sounds great.
What's going on down
there? How about Travis Kelce? Or Jason Kelce.
Okay, I was going to
say. How about
say,
Jason Kelce?
I wouldn't mind Jason Kelce.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
How about Bill Belichick?
No. That would be even worse.
Easy.
That's a great pass.
You know who
He'd
might,
be calling Nance an idiot.
You know who might be good? You know who honestly might be good, though, of the coaches that didn't get hired? Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
I wonder if he would be good at that.
Yeah, he might be.
What do you think about Nick Saban joining game day?
I love Nick Saban. I love him. I think he should be the college football czar. He should be the college football commissioner.
Yeah, there would be way too much favoritism.
Do you think Nick Saban called Bob and go, hey, Bob, looks like you're having fun. How did you do it? He goes, well, I went to Fox Sports first, had some fun there, and then I went over down to Arlington College of Football, and I watched my son. I mean, he's having a blast selling tequila. And you think Nick Saban, like, how'd you let loose, Bob? And now he can kind of.
Well, Nick is 15 years younger than you.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That's true.
But. Oh, I can't. I'm a Saban guy, and no offense. Listen, he's one of the iconic things about college football.
That's true.
But Corso has been done for a decade.
Yeah, I was hoping when I saw the announcement, I was hoping that means
Corso. You know who I always thought was going to be the guy to replace Corso?
Who's that?
Les Miles.
Yeah.
As eccentric as he is and kind of wacky.
Yeah.
I always thought he would be a good Lee Corso replacement.
He would be entertaining for certain.
But like Saban.
But he'd end up hitting on one of the sideline reporters and then let her rip.
But, you know, Saban's been at different times throughout the playoff era for sure when his team isn't playing, which hadn't been a ton of them. But he's been up there, you know, as an analyst at pregame or halftime.
Yeah.
And he always seems to really have
he does
some great stuff. Did you see who Trammell nominated to be Lee Corso's replacement?
Who's that? I didn't see it.
This one would be killer, too. But he's probably still got some coaching to do. Mike Gundy.
Oh, gosh. That would be good.
He would be awesome.
He would be good.
He would be awesome. Have you ever seen the clip of Gundy? You know, when they have all those different broadcasts for the national title game now. And it was like one of the first times they did
this.
Yeah,
I remember this. Yeah.
It was Alabama and Georgia the first time. And they, you know, it was him and a couple other coaches. I think Sumlin was one of them. And they were all, like, in the film room watching the game, like, dissecting it. And so the play that Tua gets sacked on in overtime, the first play, Gundy goes, they ought to run that again. That's a touchdown. And so they get set up in the same formation, the same play, and he goes, this game's over, boys. I don't know what he saw. I don't even know if he ever explained what he saw in the way the coverage was. But, as soon as they lined up, he goes, this game's over. And everybody's looking at him like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, Devontae Smith streets right down the middle of the sideline and scores the game-winning touchdown.
Hmm. No, I didn't see that. I didn't watch that.
That is the cool stuff
I'm sure
about
it's on
those
YouTube.
Coaches. Oh, I bet so, too. It was that 2017 national title game.
Yeah.
And he did. He's like, this game's over.
And
what?
he's got the sense of humor and the But that's one thing too. When you see Saban on some of those things, he's got a really cool, dry sense of humor. He takes shots. I mean, he fires stuff right back at people pretty quickly.
Listen, he was the curmudgeon-y old man in like the early 2010s. He didn't want the game to change. He wanted it to stay this, in obvious reasons, because he was better at it than everybody else. And quite frankly, Trevor Knight's biggest contribution to college football was whipping his butt in that Sugar Bowl and putting it right in front of his face, forcing him to kind of change.
Yeah.
He realized he had
to evolve
offensively. Otherwise, he was going to get ran past. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, no one here thought that Oklahoma
had a chance
to win that game.
Yeah.
But the only reason they did was because of that.
Yep.
And he went, okay.
As a matter of fact, Cliff called me and said, hey, I got tickets. And I said, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going down there to watch us get frog stomped in their backyard and then hear that all night long.
I went to the LSU game.
Yeah.
All right, what's going on down at Garrison Financial?
Hey, just like I said, you know, missed you guys last week. I was over in Shamrock, Texas. Love working with small business owners. I'll come to you, help you put retirement plans in place. You know, you want to talk about some other group benefits. Let's talk about your group benefits and let's see where we can make your dollar the most efficient that we can make it.
All right, scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. 124 North Main Street is the physical location. I don't know you had the paper. 821-1912?
1219.
Gosh, dang it.
He did that last time, too.
1219, 821-1219. Thanks for stopping by. I love that hat.
Yeah, it's killer.
Wish I'd have worn my new hat. I got a new hat yesterday, too.
Yeah?
It's not. It's cool. It's just a white EC.
It's not another Trump hat or anything.
No, it's just a white. A white with a brown EC. It's clean, though. And it's that same kind of
raised letter.
Raised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, have a great day.
All right, you guys have a good one.
That's Scott Garrison, Garrison Financial Friday. When we come back, high school hoops, regional action from last night, what's going on today, some upsets from around the state. Skitty on Sports right here on The Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. It is a Garrison Financial Friday. Always appreciate when Scotty G is able to stop by and give us his wisdom financially, also in the sporting world. We appreciate his time. Scott@soonerwealth.com is his email address. 124 North Main Street is the physical location. 821-1219 is the phone number down at his office. Scott@soonerwealth.com. All right, high school hoops got back underway yesterday. Regional tournament action in Class A and Class B. As far as the Paragon TV network, there was only one elimination yesterday, and it happened in the first game of the day up at Hammond. Sweetwater beat Eric on the girls' side in Class B, 50-46. So Eric's season ends at 12-16. Sweetwater moves on to play Alec at 1 o'clock today in regional consolation action. We can talk about the other games. Let's just go with you. The Canute boys, close first half, but, man, they really rolled in the second half against McComas. And then Trojanettes played a great game in the after a really close, exciting game in that regional winners' bracket game last night.
Yeah, we'll go in order here. Canute boys, like you said, they look like the capable team that we've seen all season long once they started. I mean, they only had like a four-point lead at half, but then really turned it on and pulled away from him. And Jake Butler, you know, he set out against CBA he was sick and came back, had 19 against Arapahoe on Saturday night in that loss. And then he had 20 last night. I don't wish a kid get sick, but it's like he took that one game off and then it prepared him for these playoff runs. And he's been their MVP in these two early in the playoffs in these two games. He was my Rob's Ranch player of the game. Jackson Beck got a little bit more in rhythm. He had three Cook three-pointers last night. Keaton Winery, very steady with 13 points. Luke Spitz had six. Nate Bryan. I mean, everybody got involved, and it's what you expected out of a team that just won their 20th game. So that was a nice rebound for them, and now they got to turn around and go to Union City and play the host school, Union City, which is never a picnic when you got to go into someone else's gym in the playoffs. You know, they're going to be loud and rowdy, and it's another afternoon game, 2:30. So we'll see what happens there. Special moment in that game. I don't know if you caught it, young man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, Alessandro Riviera is his name for Wacomas, came in, from what I understand, has autism, and he's a senior. And there when the game, late in the fourth, about a minute left, it was well decided. Coach Hicks for Wacomas put him in, and he had about three, maybe four attempts at a three, and it wasn't just, I mean, it was a nice little stroke he had.
He did.
And it went, he could put one in, then he had the steal and went and laid it up, had 5 points, and that was a really special moment, kind of puts a lot of stuff in, you know, I say that a lot, puts a lot of stuff in perspective. And both, I mean, it was the loudest the gym got yesterday. You know, everyone, both fan bases, some Drummond fans and Arapahoe fans that were still in attendance were up cheering for this kid. It was a cool moment. The girls, just a kind of a flat start in the first quarter, trailed at 14-8. Took them a little bit to finally find the bucket outside of free throws in the first quarter. And they, too, played Wacomas, 19th-ranked Wacomas. Trailed at 14-8 after the first quarter and then settled down and got the game close going into the second half. And and then they tied it at the end of the third quarter. I'm going off memory here, 37-37. And then it was tied up at after regulation, 44-44. It went into overtime, and immediately Wacomas hits a three, and they stalled. And they did once they got the ball back, they waste as much time off the clock. But Canute did have a chance down two with 5 seconds with the chance to win it. Had to go about three-quarters of the court to do it. Got it in. Wacomas was trying to foul him. Because they had fouls to give. They didn't call the foul, and they got the pass over to Camry Tabor, the young lady who comes off the bench. She's really good defensively, just a sophomore, and she hit a three earlier in the quarter that tied it up. She had a good look, just hit it too strong, hit the heel, and I actually thought it was going to bounce in on the second bounce, went straight up and then went off to the side. But I had a good look at it, and I don't blame her taking that shot because I think she was just brimming with confidence after hitting that big shot. I mean, biggest shot of her life so far, and almost had another big shot. But I just can't start slow like that if you're Canute and try to discover your offense when the other team on the other side is hitting a bunch of threes and you're playing catch-up the entire time. But credit Canute. They didn't go into a shell. They didn't panic. They chipped away at it, kept it close, and it was a really, really fun game just from a fan's perspective, just back and forth that entire second half. It was just a fun – you know, you expect that – The further along you go in the playoffs. Destiny Jackson was my Robs Ranch player of the game. She had 18. That was a game high, but no one else for Canute scored in double digits. And I'm a firm believer, if you don't get that help, I mean, you can score as many points as you want. I mean, just look at JB against Arapahoe on Saturday night. He had 19, but he didn't have a lot of help around him. So kind of the same scenario here. Destiny with 18 points. Emily Cantwell was close with 8, and Kendall Schuster had 8 points too. Falling short by 2, 49-47 in overtime. So they'll bounce back. They'll play tonight, 6 o'clock, against Verdon, which Canute fans will recognize Bobby Dawson, but he'll be roaming the other sideline. And they come in, I believe, like 14-14. And so it's a win or go home scenario for both Canute teams. And I think they'll be fine today.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of the Arapahoe girls game yesterday afternoon. What a wild! I mean, that thing had,
yeah,
I'm talking massive swings.
Yes, yeah.
You know, in the second half, in the fourth quarter, well, Arapahoe was ahead, what, 50-44, I think, with just, gosh, what, a minute and a half left, maybe, and back-to-back and ones, and all of a sudden it was 50-50, and then Drummond got another steal. It seemed like, golly, did they make one free throw? Anyhow, then all of a sudden, yep, you look up and Arapahoe has South on the free throw line to win the game with under, what, 6 seconds left or mm-hmm. 3 point, something like that. She made one of two, sent it in at overtime, and then in the overtime period, it felt like Arapahoe really kind of took it. They took control. So they win 65-61 in the first game of the day over there at Arapahoe over Drummond in overtime. They play Union City at Union City at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I also watched a ton of the Hammond Granite game last night. We've talked about it, that boys' game. Excited to see it. That was a fun one. Kudos to Coach Baumhoff down at Granite. He started the game. Trip Higgins lit him up for 9 on 3 threes, and he said, "Enough of that. We're running the box in one." And the other guys for Hammond did a good enough job of making it a close game. They just couldn't quite make. There was a little stretch there. Number three for Granite took over kind of early to mid fourth quarter, and Hammond couldn't answer on a couple of straight possessions. He hit a three, he got down in the post and worked a couple of different times down in the paint, scored 7, and Hammond never answered. And I think they went from down 2 to up 5, Granite did, in that swing, and Hammond never got back all the way into it as they fall 62-53. Granite, man, both teams. There was a lot of fun because, I mean, it was there for a little bit of a stretch, but right before half, it was just 3-3-3-3, back and forth. Lane Johnston hit a couple of threes in the third quarter to get Hammond back the lead. Hammond was up early, like 18-9, and then Granite swung ahead by like 6 or 8 right before half, and then all of a sudden it was a 2-point game at halftime with some threes. I'll tell you, it's every game, every win that Hammond can earn, to play another one and just get further and hopefully for their sake, for the future, get into next week and feel what an area tournament feels like is only going to help because, man, They're going to figure it out. I'm sure for Coach Johnston, coming from Roth, all the success that he had there, and it's a process with a young team. And it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, right? You just mentioned it. You're very rarely do you have somebody that is so good that they can do it by themselves. You have to have help. You have to be able to get scoring from other places. And sure, would it have been easy last night for Larry just to go, here, go get it?
Yeah.
I'm sure that was in his mind. But at the same time, what's going to be the best, even moving forward for the rest of this season and into the following seasons with such a young team? I think that there's a process going on up there that's only going to they ain't going nowhere.
Yeah,
I was really impressed. I haven't got to actually sit down. I've seen like spurts of them, but to sit down and like literally almost watch the entire game last night. There's a lot of good things coming up at Hammond on the boys' side.
And they're just fun to watch, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're fun to watch with that brand of basketball, how they play it fast and that run and gun and the shooting. It's very fun to watch. And you mentioned the further you can go with this team in the playoffs is like a bonus. It's just going to help you further. It's like a football team making a bowl game. Well, you get all those extra practices just for making a bowl game. And so, that's big for them. And – but, you know, they're telling themselves, no, that's not our goal. Our goal is to go as far as we can go year,
absolutely.
Not next year.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. Granted, though, man, 3 took over. Like I said, I wish I knew his name. 13 could shoot. He hit a couple of big ones in the corner to start the second half to kind of get the flow going. And then a guy down low, you know, when they kind of had the perfect mix because they had 2 guys that were assigned to Higgins. 24 got in foul trouble. In the first half, here came 4, and they were athletic enough to stay with him and do their job away from the other 4. And then on the box part of it, with kind of the 2-2 zone-ish, 21 down low was an absolute eraser. So, you know, you think to yourself, okay, Trick can stand in the corner, mm-hmm. and it's 4-on-4. You can work a screen here, get somebody open. And that happened a ton. Like, beat your guy off the dribble, the help comes. But 21 was just – I bet he had 6 or 7 block shots. And so it was almost like the perfect scheme by Coach Baumhoff there for Granite to be able – he had both things he needed to execute that defense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Granite moves into the regional final tomorrow night. Hammond will play today in the regional consolation round. All right, let's go – That's just the ones that I really paid attention to. Let's go throughout the entire day yesterday. So we started up in Hammond. Class B girls, I already mentioned. Sweetwater beat Eric 50-46. So Sweetwater moves on. Eric is out. Sweetwater will play 1 o'clock today against Alec. Also in girls action in the regional consolation round, you had Arapahoe Butler beating Drummond 65-61 in overtime. So Arapahoe Butler plays Union City 1 o'clock at Union City. Those are elimination games. Another elimination game, Sentinel lost to Surreal last night 65-49 on the girls' side. They play Southwest Covenant at 1 o'clock at Surreal in an elimination game in Class A girls. Class A boys, Cheyenne Raiden got a win 61-56 over Carnegie yesterday. So they'll play Surreal at Surreal at 2:30. That's regional consolation action in an elimination game. You already mentioned Canute gets Union City at Union City. Same time, 2:30. That's an elimination game. Then Arapahoe Butler will also play in an elimination game. They lost to Drummond last night in the winner's bracket, 38-22. So they play Rock Creek at 7:30 in Union City in the Class A boys tournament. Sentinel was a winner. They play in the regional final tomorrow night against Southwest Covenant. That game will be in Surreal, 7:30. So Sentinel, Surreal. All right, Sentinel Southwest Covenant in Surreal is that regional final. The other regional final, Cheyenne Raiden. We talked about it yesterday, who needed to play well. They did.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah.
72-40, just pounded poor Timmy and Navajo. So Cheyenne Raiden is now in the regional final in Class A girls. They'll play Surreal in Surreal 6 o'clock tomorrow night. What a performance, though, by that young Lady Bear squad. Holy
Moses. You talk about – playing for, you know, you mentioned the Hammond boys, and that's kind of, you know, that Cheyenne girls are really, really young. And so, yes, as far as you can go in the playoffs as a bonus, now they're just on the cusp of possibly punching a ticket.
Pull an upset, and you're playing to go to the state tournament.
It's crazy.
You're guaranteed to play next week in Chickasha after last night.
Yeah.
No matter what happens tomorrow night against Cyril. So, yeah, Lady
Every
Bears.
Win for those freshmen for that game is just a confidence builder. If they start to believe we can play with anybody in the state.
All right, Class B boys. Eric beat Sweetwater yesterday, 38-27. So they move on in the regional consolation round today. They'll play Caney. That's a 2:30 game at Alec. Already mentioned Hammond will play Mill Creek at 7:30 tonight, also in Alec. That's regional consolation. Leedy won't play today, the boys anyway. They beat Felt Yarborough 60-34. They get Balco 7:30 tomorrow night, regional finals. That's actually at home at Leedy. They've already beat Balco once at the Oil Center Classic up at Woodward. Pretty dominant win as well. So Leedy in good spot to maybe play to go to the state tournament next week. Mentioned Sweetwater moving on. Hammond is in the Class B girls regional final against Turner tomorrow. That's a 6 o'clock start tomorrow night at Alec. That's a regional final. They beat Granite 75-15. And then one of the ones that I had picked out, you'd picked out as a good game, and I was nervous for the Leedy Lady Bison. They go down last night to Boise City 50-46. So the Leedy Lady Bison play Buffalo 6 o'clock tonight. Elimination game up in Leedy. And then one other note, Arnett, the Lady Wildcats, moved into the regional finals last night. They fell behind early. They trailed Scheidler a bunch of that game. But they end up winning, and they play Frontier tomorrow night in the regional final on that side of that area. So Arnett into the regional finals on the girls' side. Good day. Some upsets around the state. Mentioned, I mean, obviously, Canute and Leedy on the girls' side going down here are pretty noteworthy with where they were ranked. There was a top six loss, and that was in Class A boys. Number six, Stonewall, goes down 60-52 to Riverfield Country Day. Stonewall was a popular pick in the Tucker Family Beef 8 for state. I can tell you that on the Class A boys side.
What area was that?
3 or 4. Stonewall goes down to Riverfield Country Day, 60-52.
Yikes. Yeah, I picked them.
Here's the deal. I think it was area 4. Mm-hmm. And because it's on the other side of the state, I have a feeling a whole bunch of people picked them because they were top six or top eight. You know what I mean? You just go, okay, I'll take them and okay.
Right.
Because they are ranked in the top eight. So Stonewall goes down last night. Another one that I know was a popular pick, kind of as a non-top eight type pick that escaped, and I actually watched the end of it. Pond Creek Hunter boys almost went down. They won in overtime against Garber.
You know Garber.
I know. It's always Garber, right?
Garber's always kind of there.
Garber had a chance to win that game. They didn't, and then Pond Creek Hunter won in overtime. 54-50, I think, was the final. But that was one. Pond Creek Hunter was an alternative to the top. I'll tell you another one that almost happened, and I mentioned it when we talked about our favorite games on Wednesday. I just kind of mentioned it in passing as, oh, hey, this would have been a cool game at the first of the season. Okarchee girls had Oklahoma Bible down the entire night and ended up giving it up at the very end.
Oh, no.
I think it was 44-39 Oklahoma Bible. That was one. Okarchee was ahead all night long. And finally, Oklahoma Bible was able to win. But that was another one that was close. There were some close calls. But only Stonewall on the boys' side goes down in A and B as far as top eight teams. We'll run down the schedule again before we get out of here for what's coming up today on Paragon TV. When we come back, a little bracketology. How many Big 12 teams do you think are in the tournament right now? Where is Oklahoma as far as seeding-wise going into tomorrow's game hosting Kansas? Sooners going to be shorthanded. Could that be a good thing, though? We'll be back. Skinny on Sports on Nick Garrison Financial Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mark. Yeah. Ing. Yeah.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Wrapping up Garrison Financial Friday. Kind of scatter shots all around what's going on in the world of sports. Bracketology, Jared. How many Big 12 teams do you think Joe Lunardi has making the tournament as of right now?
Let's go with, I don't know, 8 or 9. Let's say 9.
9 is correct. And then a 10th is the 4th team out.
Oh, wow.
Cincinnati. Cincinnati was in last week's bracketology to make the Big 12 with 10. Mm. You know, normally they probably did have that. Kind of the locks, the who should be ins and all that. I read that this week. And Cincinnati was really the only one on the – work to do side of things. You know, a lot of people freaking out when Oklahoma lost a couple of games. They're listed as a 7th seed playing New Mexico in Indianapolis. Marquette would be the 2. They've got the arrow pointed down on OU, which is interesting because of 2 wins last week, one against a ranked BYU, but then of course the Baylor loss, so maybe that's where the trend is. Or maybe it's one of those do you think he looks at the schedule coming up and maybe starts the trend that way? Because Oklahoma's schedule is toughening up.
Maybe.
You know, with a trip to Ames, obviously KU this week. You know, at Stillwater's coming up too. But I wonder if he tries to kind of get ahead of that. As, okay, here is where they are right now. Don't be surprised next week if you look up and they're an 8 or a 9. For me, if you can be a 7 and a 6, it's amazing how much better that is than being an 8 or a 9. Because of, you know.
Well, you avoid a possible
you avoid the one,
and those 8-9 matchups are hard. They're so even. Like it's like a 12-5, 8-9. You almost have to flip a coin when you pick them.
We had a question earlier in the week when we were talking college basketball as far as who would be the number one seeds. Right now, Lunardi has Purdue as the number one overall seed. I think that's going to be hard to change because of the Big Ten, because of what they've done. Also, UConn, number one seed, Houston, a number one seed, and Arizona, a number one seed.
We all kind of mentioned them.
Yeah, somebody, you know, KU, a 2 seed, Marquette, a 2 seed, North Carolina and Tennessee, the other 2s, Iowa State, Baylor, Auburn, and Alabama, the 3s. And then, let's see, where's the 4 line? There it is. Wisconsin, which that's shocking to me with the tailspin they've been in. They show to be stagnant. I don't understand. Wisconsin, Duke, Creighton, and Illinois would be the 4s. So that's kind of your top 16 seeds in what Joe Lunardi has as the as the tournament right now. So, good stuff. Gonzaga, we talked about them. They're his last team in right now. The Zags. It's crazy to think
about. Is that because they deserve it, or is that because it's hard to imagine an NCAA tournament nowadays without Gonzaga in there?
Probably a little bit of both.
You're going to keep a lot of eyeballs on the television if it's Gonzaga playing and as opposed to Grand Canyon or whatever.
Well, how about this? I mean, just last team in, Gonzaga. First team out, Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody cares to watch Wake Forest play basketball. Gonzaga, though, might bring some eyeballs.
I think it has influence. Absolutely, it does.
understand your, I wouldn't even call that a conspiracy theory. I would just call that a theory and probably a correct one. Golf tournament PGA Tour at Riviera yesterday. Tiger Woods made his comeback. First time we've seen him in forever. What, since the third round of the did I see him with my own eyes the last time that he played a professional golf tournament?
He pulled out early, right?
That wasn't last year, though. That was two years ago.
Has he come back since? I can't remember.
He played the Masters last year, didn't he?
I think so.
I think that was the end. He shoots one over. He made five birdies. His golf swing looked incredible. He had some really kind of sloppy bogeys throughout the round, and then he shanked it. You see the shank?
I did.
Middle of the fairway on 18. He said his back started spasming up.
Like what, in his backswing?
Yeah, I don't know, because the hole before, it was a 600-yard par 5, and he knocked it on in 2 at 48 years old with a leg and a quarter.
Is it a stroke penalty if he, in his backswing, he feels something and he just stops?
No, he always does that.
Well, if it was truly back spasm, why didn't he just stop?
I think it had been happening the last few holes.
I see.
He was trying to fight through it. But he shoots one over, plays again today. Is there a cut? I had this question. Yes, there is. Yikes. Everybody within 10 shots of the lead will make the cut. Right now, only 1, 2, 3, 4 guys would miss at 4 over par. But that lead probably gets up. You're probably going to have to be even par or better. So a couple under would probably help Tiger Woods' quest to make the cut. It's a short field. I didn't even realize there was a cut in this one. Maybe like top 50 in ties, which would be even par right now. Even par tied for 44th. Or 10 shots within the lead would be my guess. Top 50 or 10 shots. So he'd have to at least be even par to be top 50. It's probably right around there. Even or one under maybe would be where he goes. Another notable comeback that's in the making, and it's a guy that I think everybody kind of likes for various reasons. Will Zalatoris. Mm. That's one. There's another comeback too I'll tell you about. But Zalatoris, it was two years ago. Almost won the Masters, was in every bit. Heck, he was in the playoff with JT at Southern Hills to win the PGA Championship. Then his putter kind of started looking pretty wonky. You know, some of those strokes that he made were questionable at best. Now he's got the long broomstick, but he hurt his back, and he was out basically all year last year. Coming back, he is one shot off the lead at 6 under. Also another comeback, Gary Woodland. He played pretty well yesterday. Where is he at now? Oh, did he falter at the end? Yeah, he did. Darn, down to 1 under. He was 4 under at one point. But you realize he had like a baseball-sized tumor removed out of his brain.
Oh, wow.
That's why you haven't heard of Gary Woodland in a while. But he's starting to make his comeback, too.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They kind of highlighted last week when things weren't going nuts. Yeah. Out at Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, right after he won the U.S. Open that next year, there was that girl that had some disabilities.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big deal. Well, she's still there. She's, 6 years older, so she's like a young woman now instead of a teenager. But then now the story even gets more heart-wrenching because of what Gary Woodland's gone through with that tumor removed out of his brain. Mm. So people be rooting for him for sure. Over the weekend out at Riviera. Riviera is one of the coolest courses. If you it seems like you ask those guys out on tour, what are your top five? Yeah. Riviera is in like everybody's top five. And I think a lot of it is, it's kind of that classic course, and there's no tricks. You know exactly, it's right there. Come and get it. And the 300 or 290-yard par 4 10th is one of the hardest short par fours in the world. Tiger made a bogey yesterday. He drove it through the green into a greenside bunker, and he had to pitch it out sideways because he couldn't go at the hole after hitting what was almost an incredibly great shot for an eagle putt. You know, that's how fine that line is at 10 at Riviera. So
yep.
A fun week. You'll hear something that you don't hear every week. Kikuyu, the grass.
Oh,
Kikuyu
yeah.
grass.
Yeah.
It's sticky. around the greens. Mm. So anyway, what else you got? What do you got, Jared? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Man, the only thing on my mind is basketball. Just looking forward to the games I'm calling, games around with the Paragon schools, and anxious to see how it all shakes out after Saturday night and what we're looking forward to next weekend in the area tournament. We're that much closer to the big house. That's what's on my mind. That's about it.
Okay, here we go. Let's run down the schedule again.
Okay.
Start with we'll do the girls first, as we should. We'll try to go in chronological order here. All right, so 1 o'clock, regional consolation action from Union City. It'll be Arapahoe-Butler versus Union City. It's 1 o'clock, elimination game in Class A girls. Also at 1 o'clock. Nope, never mind. It's not us. Then let's go to 2:30. 2:30, we have Canute in Union City boys. It's 2:30, Class A boys, regional consolation action. Also at 2:30, the Eric Bearcats will play Caney. That game will be in Alec. So 2:30, Paragon TV, Eric and Caney. Then let's go to the night sessions. On the girls' side in Class A, you'll be in Union City. That'll be Canute versus Verdon, 6 o'clock tip in Union City. Also up at Leedy, Leedy will play Buffalo. That's a 6 o'clock tip in Leedy. I'm trying to make sure I don't say tomorrow's games also. Then at 7:30, Class A boys. Arapahoe-Butler will play Rock Creek. Hammond will play Mill Creek. 7:30 tonight.
Mill Creek.
Mill Creek.
You know what their mascot is?
The Millers. Darn it.
The Bullfrogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that is cool.
It is cool. I was hoping one of our teams would play them.
Oh, how awesome.
The Mill Creek Bullfrogs.
I mean, I can't help but ask, is his name Jeremiah?
Who, the coach or the player?
The mascot.
The mascot. Oh, yeah. That's a – has to be, right?
Doesn't it have to say Jeremiah across his chest?
Yes.
Because as we know, he was a bullfrog. Also tonight.
Joy to the world.
We almost forgot, or I almost forgot. Tonight – the larger schools get going with district tournaments. Merritt hosts Sayre, 6 o'clock, Paragon TV. That's a two-team district. Both will move on to regionals.
Beckham County battle.
Battle for Beckham
battle
County.
Battle for Beckham County.
District style.
In the playoffs.
In Class 2A. And then tomorrow night, we know for sure. So we know for sure tomorrow night we'll have Leedy and Balco, Class B boys at 7:30. We know for sure tomorrow night we'll have Hammond and Turner, Class A girls at 6. That's what we know for sure. We also know for sure that we'll have a 4A district for you on Big Elk TV as the Elkettes and the Big Elks take on Bishop McGinnis, 6 o'clock start tomorrow night. If you missed any of that, go to Paragon TV. We got the brackets up, schedule hopefully. Anything else? Daytona 500 Sunday?
Maybe, if it doesn't rain.
It doesn't rain it out. Anything else? Anything else? Nope, I think that's it.
Got all covered? What?
Text line.
Oh, I closed it. I'd have to go back. I closed it. Joy to the World. Scott Jones. Thanks, Scott. We played Name That Tune.
Oh, by the way. Caitlin Clark became the all-time leading scorer in women's basketball. Everybody have a great Friday.
That's right.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back. Goodbye.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, Anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.